Welcome back. Wrestle Revolution, you got me, Mark Becker. We've got our dear friend Jeff Cabaservis from the Niskanen Center. If you don't know who the Niskanen Center is, shame on you. But for a refresher course, they are a leading Washington, D.C. think tank policy center. They advocate for things like immigration reform, environmentalism, civil liberties. They're a leader in finding pragmatic and bipartisan solutions. So they are definitely people that we need to pay attention to, respect, listen to, because they put a lot of thought into what they do. We were talking about on the other side, you know, Munich and how that happened, how it was allowed to happen. And I think there's parallels a little bit, because I remember when I was in the Republican Party and we had people that were really common sense, that were forward thinkers. You know, I talk about old rising stars of like Nancy Mace and Elise Stefanik and at one point Ron Johnson, and some of these people that really had common sense-ish, moderate-ish solutions and had a desire to work with people across the aisle.
Yeah.
They're gone.
It used to be, you know, I wrote a history of the moderate faction of the Republican Party from its origins back in the 1850s through, well, what at that point was the Tea Party movement. And, you know, there haven't been moderates in the Republican Party for a while. But there have been a number of people who are conservative but serious about governing. They take seriously the obligation to actually govern in the interest of the entire United States, not just their district, states, or supporters. And, you know, I actually worked for a Republican organization back in 2015, 2016, where, you know, for example, they were actually very serious about finding breakthrough cures at a higher rate than had happened so far, about getting them through the FDA approval process more quickly, and actually bolstering funding to the National Institutes of Health and the kind of basic research that leads to those breakthroughs that can allow us to cure cancer. So in that sense, you felt great about working for the Republican Party. They were a responsible governing party, going about the process of governing in a different way than the Democrats would, obviously, but able to collaborate with Democrats and find common ground solutions. And unfortunately, there's just a lot less of that now in Washington, to put it mildly.
Yes. Yeah, there sure is. Last time you were here, you talked about chaos is Trump's friend. I believe that was that was a quote you said. And, you know, we're inching ever closer to midnight. I think we're at like 89 seconds now is what the doomsday clock is at. And I can't, I mean, this last week and a half has been something that it was a blur, a whirlwind. And we talked about last week with our political director here at Civic Media, Dan Schaefer. We talked about how it's like this wall of sound that just comes at you. And last time around, Trump was more interested in things like saber rattling. But now he has people that it's more action-based. You know, chaos is Trump's friend. Boy, were you right about that.
Just think about that. 89 seconds. That's not even the length of a Ramones song.
Right. That's a good, I like that. That's good.
Well, look, you know, we're talking here in the first 2 weeks of Trump 2, right? And already it's very clear that it's very different from Trump 1. You know, Trump won the first time he came into office in 2017. He had no idea what he was doing.
Yeah.
He hadn't expected to win. He took a long time getting positions filled at the different departments and agencies. And he ultimately had to rely on people who had served in previous Republican administrations. So the Reagan and Bush people, basically, who were not on board with Trumpism and
right.
who in some ways thwarted his worst impulses. It's a very different picture this time around. Trump has purged the Republican Party of previous non-believers in that sense. Even if people who have been Republican administrators or members of Congress secretly are Reaganites in their heart, they're going to pretend that they believe in Trump. And so what we're seeing now is both some of the chaos of the first Trump administration, but also a considerably more focused attempt to take over the government in a way that Trump 1 was not capable of. So, you know, on the one hand, we're seeing Project 2025 being put into action. And I don't just mean all of the different policy proposals that were in the big, 20-pound book, Mandate for Leadership,
No one knew who what it was, you know?
Well, you know, very few people had the patience to go through the whole thing.
Even right? The authors were like, huh, what is that?
Yeah. But, you know, there were three other components of Project 2025. People tend to forget this. One of them was an attempt to create a conservative LinkedIn, a sort of big database of people who had been vetted. Their social media had been looked into. There hadn't been any disagreement of Trump in their past. It was pretty likely that they would be Trump vassals in this administration. And those people are being put into administrative positions as quickly as can be managed. There also was a kind of training module about how to do the basics of governing. But then there was also a kind of 180-day action plan, complete with a number of pre-executed executive orders that could be put in place on day one of the Trump administration. And we've seen those going directly from, I think, the brain of Russ Vought and the pen of Russ Vought to Trump's desk where he can sign it. And in that sense, it's been a much more disciplined attack on uprooting the Biden administration's accomplishments, turning government to Trump's vassal in a way. And again, a certain amount of competence there, like being able even to shut down the immigration app that immigrants to this country were using to get appointments to enter within an hour of Trump taking office. And yet at the same time, we've also seen chaos already in the form of the OMB freeze on federal spending, which was then unfrozen, or has it been frozen again? Right. You know, OMB wasn't talking to the White House or going to approve for their approval before it sent out this memo, causing chaos around the world. So it's this very distinctive Trumpian mixture of focused revenge with a certain degree of competence plus massive incompetence. And I think that's what we're going to be seeing for as long as this administration lasts.
Right. And we're talking with Jeff Cabaservis from the Niskanen Center. Talk about what freedoms are being eroded here. What are we seeing in terms of that?
You know, I think it's early days yet to say what freedoms are being eroded, because probably some that we're not even paying attention to are being eroded, and maybe some things that we're worried about are not going to prove out. I think what we are seeing is an attempt by the Trump people to break down the norms that have governed American politics and society throughout most of our history, and in particular to augment the power of the executive at the expense of Congress. And what we're really waiting to see with considerable trepidation is whether the Trump administration is going to take on the judiciary, whether some of these cases that are going that have already been launched against Trump's actions, including doing away with birthright citizenship, are going to make their way to the Supreme Court, how the Supreme Court will rule, and then if the Trump administration will abide by the rulings of the Supreme Court. If the Trump administration decides that it will do what J.D. Vance counseled them to do, supposedly act as Andrew Jackson said, the Supreme Court has issued its decision, now let them enforce it, right, then we will have crossed over into something much closer to authoritarianism than anything we've seen before.
Well, I think, you know, if you know anything about Trump, his affinity to Andrew Jackson, I bet you that played right into that ego that he has. I want to drill in on that again. We're up against a break, but I want to talk about, you know, what are we looking at in terms of future for the country, for the party? Is there a party that is going to, you know, come out of this? Because one of the some of the guests that we've had have talked about, you know, we had Michael Steele, and he said, oh, well, the Republican Party is no more. He was the chairman of the darn thing. And I love Michael. I think he's a wonderful man. He's a friend, and he's brilliant. And if that guy's saying it, holy cow, are we, it's going to be some crazy time. So we'll be right back here with Jeff Cabaservis on the Rational Revolution.